Good evening, everyone. It's Donna Fox, and we are here, and we are waiting for you to ask the Akasha. Tonight, we are going to be taking your questions. I have some wonderful questions that have been emailed to me. If for some reason you're a little shy and you don't want to call, you can certainly email me questions. I'm sitting in front of my computer, and I will be taking a look at those. Also, if you want in the future to give us a call, my regular office telephone number is 216-691-1233. That's where I'm calling you from now. But tonight's call-in numbers are just for you. If you live anywhere in the USA, you can call in free of charge at toll-free 877-270-8714. Again, 877-270-8714, or you can dial directly at 530-413-4515 or 530-876-9026 or 530-876-3223. So if you're listening out there and you have a burning question, please give us a call. I want to also let you know that tonight our show is being sponsored by ARC International. That's Akashic Records Consultants International. We are an organization dedicated to training and supporting certified consultants who read the Akashic Records for others, as well as teachers. We have teacher and training programs. I am a certified teacher from ARC International, and you can find out more about ARC International by going to their website, and that website is the three W's, ARC-AkashicRecords.org, and that's Akashic Records International at www.ARC-AkashicRecords.org. And later on tonight, we're going to be talking to a board member from ARC International. Her name is Ronnie Reisler. And that's going to be on the Akashic Wisdom Show. That comes on, if you're in Pacific time, at 9 p.m. And we're going to be talking to Ronnie specifically because Ronnie creates mandalas of the soul through the Akashic Records. We're going to find out all about how she does that and some other interesting things about Ronnie. But for tonight, if you would like to look at my website is www.akashicwisdom.com, and you can contact me at Donna, D-A-H-N-A, at akashicwisdom.com. Also, if you go up to the BBS website, which hopefully you're on right now, and you click on Akashic Wisdom, you'll find all my information there. Okay, so let's talk. I had some wonderful questions that came in this week. And the first question we're going to start out with is from a gal in Texas, lovely, I'm going to say young woman because I don't know how old she is, so we're all going to think we're all going to be young. Anyway, we're all young at heart. And her question is, I know the Akashic Records contain our actions, past and present, but do they also contain our records of the future? I always thought we incarnate with specific life contracts to fulfill, but I also like to think that our free will plays a part in that, and that both lend a certain unpredictability about how things eventually turn out, like many, many possible and probable futures available. Well, young lady, Miss Linda, you are absolutely right, yes and no. So let me just kind of start at the beginning, in this part of the question that you have, where you say, I know the Akashic Records contain our actions, past and present, but do they also contain our records of the future? And also the part about incarnating with specific life contracts to fulfill. The way our Akashic Records work is, again, if you're joining us for the first time, these programs are dedicated to not only the work of the Akasha, but to explain how people use the Akashic Records in their life and to help you understand how the Akashic Records energy may benefit you. So if you were to think about when we first extend ourselves from source, when we do that, we do have an agenda. We have an idea of the kind of things that we would like to experience on whatever plane of existence we go into. Some souls incarnate onto planet Earth, and some souls first incarnate in other dimensions, in other planets, etc., or other planes of intelligence. So there are many different ways one can incarnate. But for the sake of discussion tonight, let's talk about when we decide to come to planet Earth. Now, there are many belief systems out there that say that we have to be one way or another, and when we come to Earth, we are automatically in the karma system. And that's not necessarily true. The karma system of what you did, and this is, I know this is going to be a loose definition because karma isn't necessarily what you did in a past life affects this lifetime. But if you want to go into that belief system, it says that whatever you did in a past life was there to be able to extend your experience into knowing more about what it's like to be human. And from that area of karma, that's what we're talking about. When we incarnate onto planet Earth, we do. We have an agenda of how we want to experience life as a human. There are many times we have themes. In fact, more often than not, we have themes of the way we want our lives to go. That's where free will comes in. So, for example, if in fact you were to set out and decide that you wanted to experience more information about being human from a forgiveness point of view, or if you wanted to experience being human and being totally joyful, or you might want to come into being human and experience helping humanity. Now, you could do all of those in one lifetime. You could focus on one theme. And so the idea of purpose is a bit of a big question. But that's not what Linda was asking. She wanted to understand if we have specific life contracts to fulfill, how does our free will play into that? And the contracts have more to do with the essence of experience rather than the actual actions or the actual events. So, for example, let's say a human being was wanted to incarnate to understand or explore joy, for example. And let's say the way they decided, and they also had a contract with their parents because they chose their parents and the parents chose them. And in other words, like they're all spirit. And they say, okay, I'm going to Earth, you know, and I need to experience joy. And the parent says, that's great. I also need to experience joy and I need to experience compassion. Oh, well, that can help you with that. And so the idea here is we come together with the various major players in our life, and the essence of experience is agreed to, not the specific actions. So, for example, a person or a human being may decide to come in to this body, this constriction, and choose to experience total and complete joy and non-judgment. And so they come in to this existence as a Down syndrome child. A Down syndrome child that only sees beauty, that is constantly happy, that is constantly smiling, that has no judgment, that loves everyone. And that Down syndrome child is experiencing joy in the most purest form. At the same time, that Down syndrome child is affecting the family in multiple ways, from a place of compassion, a place of forgiveness, a place of anger, a place of, again, judgment. But there's a variety of many, many emotions that happen when a family receives the blessing of a Down syndrome child. Now, for the parents, they can choose to feel blessed, or they can choose to feel burdened. Now, this is not a judgment on my part or the record's part. What we're trying to explain is how someone could fulfill the aspect of joy-filled. So, for example, let's take something else. Let's say a person wanted to come in and experience non-judgment of appearances. Let's say for whatever reason they wanted to be able to accept people exactly as they are, without any regard to what they looked like, only what they felt like and what they heard. And that way a person might come in and choose to come in blind. Now, I didn't say they were coming in a non-judgmental way. What I did say is they've chosen to come in a way that wouldn't judge another person's appearance. Because when obviously a person is blind, they have to take a person from their voice and from their actions. And each time we are limited in one sense, the other senses expand, as we all know. So let's, for example, say you have someone in your family that has a handicap, or what you have deemed a physical challenge. So rather than looking at that person either with pity or yourself from a burden's point of view, you may want to take another way of looking at that. So again, the next time you see a mom with a child who either has Down syndrome or is challenged physically in some way, rather than getting the aw type thing with a pity, try to look at that child as a blessing and looking at the family as receiving that blessing. Now let's go on with that. So if there's any questions or comments on what has just been said, please feel free to give us a call. I'm going to give you the 800 number here that you can, if you're in the U.S., you can call directly into. It's 877-270-8714. Or you can dial direct to 530-413-4515 or 530-876-9026. Let me say that again, 530-876-9026 or 530-876-3223. Your comments are welcome. I'd love to get a dialogue going here, folks. So if you have anything to say, comments, challenges, questions about what's been said, please feel free to call. So let's go on a little bit more and explore this question because it's a great one. So, for example, how does free will play when you have certain essence of experience? Or if you think that something is just meant to be? If you take a look or think about life on planet Earth as a way of being a game. And in this game, we are on a game board. And the game board gives us many ways that we can move. And if you think about the idea of this game board being on a matrix, and what I mean when I say a matrix, imagine a spider web that has all the different places you can go and the different ways that you can actually intersect, that you can move in a variety of different ways and expand that matrix out to give you a variety of different ways and paths that will actually get you to the same center. But you can follow different paths or connect the dots in different ways, depending on how and where you go. So let's take, for example, the death of someone. For example, let's take, my first husband died when my kids were 16 months old, 3 and 6. And it's been a long time since that happened, so that was in 1978. So they're now grown and adult, and I have grandchildren, and et cetera. However, at the time, I could have made the choice to become angry, embittered, and I could have crawled into a shell. Some people do that when loved ones die. I could have chosen to become depressed and feel that it was never going to be okay for me to smile again or laugh again. And sometimes that's what other people do. Sometimes the free will says, I'm not going to live because my loved one died. My choice, on the other hand, was to honor the death of my husband by honoring his life. And the way I honored his life was to honor my life and to honor the lives of my children. One of the things that I definitely know about love, true, deep love, is there's never a time when you love someone or when they love you that they don't want you to be happy. True love always wants you to be happy, even if it means you're not going to be with that person. The love is what takes the precedence. So one of the things that I knew is that my husband would want me to be happy. And the best way to honor him was to be able to move on with my life. Now, one of the things that happened was I chose to be able to live life to the fullest and explain to my children that their dad was only a thought away and that they should never forget him. And we talked about him all the time, and we joked and laughed and did lots of remembering. And to this day, we have a fondness in our heart and remember their dad, even though I've remarried and even though I have a wonderful husband. We still honor my children's biological father. In fact, my daughter was actually married on Father's Day, which also happened to be my first husband's birthday, as a way of honoring his life. And her little boy is named after my first husband, to honor and expand his memory. So that gives you kind of an understanding of how free will choice comes in. So the contract was I wanted to experience loss or sadness or a variety of different things, and I wanted to be able to have choices. And so the choices I had were in moving along in a different way than, let's say, someone else who lost their husband at an early age. For example, my mother-in-law lost her husband at the age, her husband was 42 years old. In fact, that was my husband's father. She chose not to remarry. She chose not to date. She chose to just stay totally focused on sadness. She was a wonderful woman, but she felt that by going with another man or by even being happy was not honoring his memory. Whereas I took the totally, you know, what do they call it, the 360 degree or 180 turn and did it differently because I knew that's what he wanted. So free will choice has everything to do with how we work our own futures. That's why the difference between an Akashic Record consultation and a psychic reading is so different, because in Akashic Record consultation, we help you understand what the core issues are of what's creating the behavior and why you do what you do. Whereas with a psychic reading, for example, the psychic typically will read the energy around you and tell you what they see. But the energy around you is changeable and mutable. So what's true today may not be true tomorrow. So it's based on free will choice. So if you're out there, Linda, and you're listening, I would love to have you call in. Let's talk about this. Let me answer some more questions that you might have on this one. Is there someone on the line now?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sure I heard a click. Oh, there is. Hello.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
What, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Indianapolis.
Okay. Well, and what is your first name, sir?
My name's Robert.
Hi, Robert. How can I help you?
Oh, I was just going to talk with you tonight. So you're into Akashic Records, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And he just told me on the phone that you don't really do readings.
I do readings.
I do readings.
I do private readings. I do private readings for people. I do private telephone readings. The question, what happens on the telephone is when we're talking and doing a radio program like this, if someone calls in and says,
correct,
what's my purpose, that's a wonderful question for a private one-on-one consultation.
Right, I understand that.
However, for radio and other people, it might not exactly be the most interesting thing to find out what your purpose is. That's
right.
What you're talking about. We'd love to ask, but what are the questions you have?
So basically tonight it would be
I apologize.
Questions about the Akashic Records.
I apologize for that. Now you set me straight. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you still there?
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm getting
yes, Robert, I am. Go
I'm
ahead.
Getting
what
some
are you
reverb. Okay.
Whatever you'd like to know about the Akashic Records, sure.
You know, I've only tapped into Akashic Records one time, and it was audio. You know, and it was of all things, it was more like a Wild West cowboy and Indians type battle. You know, with the horses and them going at each other in one direction or both directions.
What were you tapping into, a past life?
I believe not. I believe I just tapped into the records. I don't think it had anything to do with me. I have my own beliefs on what my Akashic Records are. But, and I probably would be interested in a private reading with you sometime.
Okay. Well, a lot of times people will spontaneously drop into the records. However, when you drop into the Akashic Records, you can drop in because, let's say, in a dream, when you're trying to figure something out, or if a person is a healer, they can, if they're working on a client, they can, based on the way the energy is, they can sometimes the energy can shift and they can drop into the Akashic Records, because you have to understand that the Akashic Records are held in the etheric body of not only the human, but of the planet. And so the way that I access the Akashic Records and the way I teach people how to access their own records is through a holy prayer. And it's a specific prayer that has been translated from Mayan to Spanish to English, and it was brought down from the Pleiadians. And it was, the prayer itself is a vibrational key. And that prayer actually shifts the energy to make the information accessible. However, I don't tell futures because I'm not a psychic, because the energy source that I'm accessing is the heart, or the heart chakra, and the mind, which is crown chakra that goes to source.
I'm primarily crown.
Uh-huh.
I lock in the heart. I said I'm primarily crown. I lock in the heart.
Interesting.
I would tell you on my own beliefs of my Akashic records is that are repeated in dreams. These are dreams that I've had repeatedly, but I wouldn't consider them tapping into Akashic records like I did that one time.
Well, the way I teach people and the way I use the Akashic records is to help understand why things are the way they are. So the idea here is the Akashic records actually help you understand why certain things
yourself.
Have happened in your life.
Right.
You see, as well as because you can tap into the Akashic records and you can it can expand your creativity and it can expand your knowledge of things because it expands the energy of your awareness.
Right. I'm very aware and very creative. So.
Great. Did you have a question?
Well, you know, when I got on the phone, I thought maybe I would get, you know, some type of maybe over the phone reading, which I know is not full because that's hard to do. But
right.
I really didn't have a question. I thought maybe you could, picking up my vibrations on the phone, could maybe tell me a little bit.
That's a great comment because that's what's different between working with the Akasha and a psychic reading. I'm not reading your vibrations, and I'm not reading your the energy around you. In order to be able to read your Akashic records, I would, and I don't ask you to say this on the air, that's okay, but that's why a private reading is important. We use the person's current legal name. And the consultations are based 100% on your questions because your legal name and the question get us to the right area of the records so that you can understand and you get the answers to your questions. So, for example, sometimes a person would ask a psychic, when am I going to make more money? Or when...
Trust me, that one of my number one rules in life, and I know this from prior negotiations, is never make money an issue in anything you do. You're already
right.
Off
well,
the track.
I was just trying to give you an example, sir. And there was
that would be
a psychic question.
Well, and that's the kind of stuff that you hear repeatedly.
Right,
sure.
but the way a person would ask that question in the Akasha is, what is blocking me from attracting and maintaining the abundance and prosperity of the universe? So it's not about when. It's what am I doing that I can open up so I can learn to receive better. So I was just trying to give you an example of the kind of questions. It wasn't necessarily for you to ask.
Right.
It was more of a phraseology thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so have you read about the Akashic Records?
I have studied a lot of people up into John Nash, Dr. Dwayne Dyer, those are two of my favorites.
I've never heard Wayne Dyer talk about the Akashic Records. Does he do that?
Oh, yes, he does. He likes to use the term universal intelligence. That's his term for the same thing. It's called universal intelligence. It's there.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't use the word. He really doesn't use the word God that much, even though he might here and there. He likes the term universal intelligence to get people's attention because some people, they turn away from the term God for whatever reason. You know.
Right. Well, see, that's the interesting thing
The Akashic Records have nothing to do with God. Well, I'm not going to say it has nothing to do with it, but more in a sense, it's just recorded everything.
Well, it has a lot of everything to do with God, but the difference is exactly it's more of a recording of every thought, word, and deed since the beginning of time and beyond. I have to interrupt you for a minute. Is there another caller on the line? Or is there another caller waiting? I've never had another caller waiting, so I don't know what's going. I don't know what.
When I called, there was no callers waiting, or you had no callers. So But
okay,
if you
well,
have a caller
good.
That has a better question, I would not be offended if you cut me off.
Oh, no,
but
no.
But I have
that's
been
fine.
Listening to you lately, and eventually I probably will take it to a later private reading.
Well, that'd be great, Robert. Would love to do that. Have you been up to the website already?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great.
Oh, yeah. I've,
good.
I watch everybody on your website.
I'm sorry?
I said I pay attention to all the people that are on this broadcast, Dr. Fred Bell, and I like the woman on numerology. I can't remember her name, Lala.
Uh-huh, I don't
right
know. There was like, but there's a lot of great shows on, BBS Radio has a lot of great shows.
Yes.
So
yes,
in fact, I'm just going to, if you don't mind, I'm just going to take this time to encourage anyone else, too, that the records, the call, the lines are also open. But I also like to encourage you to go to the ARC website, and that website is www.arc-akashicrecords.org. And that gives you also lots of information about the Akashic Records. And ARC International is Akashic Records Consultants International. We actually certify and train Akashic Records consultants and teachers. It's been around since 2000, and so that's exactly what we do here with that. And that's one of the sponsors of the program. So, yeah. But I so if you can't think of a question, but I thank you so much for calling in. This is very interesting. What else? What are the comments?
Okay, he's put me back on the air. Sorry, he didn't
that's
think
right.
that I had a question to pose, and now I've. Because I've talked to you this long, you know, I can pose a question.
Great.
The Akashic Records, the Akashic Records, correct? Okay.
Yes.
Is there any way that you think possible for us to feed the Akashic Records into something and to say, I hate to use the term, but software to where we can review them? Do you think that's possible? What I'm getting into here is what's going to be the technology of a brainwave computer type interface. Do you understand where I'm going with that question?
Are you asking? Are you asking if someone
the Akashic Records are recorded in spirit? Do you ever think there's a way to get it to? Yes. Do you ever think there will be a way for us to take the Akashic Records and have them to media in our physical world?
Well, you don't have to if you don't
have
access to
your own records.
Do you understand
the nature of that?
Yeah, no, I do. See, the thing is, the interesting thing about that is that when you learn how to access your own Akashic Records, you don't need to have it, like, available on a computer screen, because what you do is you learn how to access the records through the prayer. For example, I teach people how to access their own records. That's a level one. And I also teach people how to access other people's records with their permission. That's level two. And so what happens is I actually teach people how to do that. And so it's a computer program isn't necessary when you know how
okay.
to access your own records.
Well,
because
remember
it's all
how
there
you
for you
said earlier you deal in the main two chakras, being the heart and the crown.
Yeah.
I told you I'm less on the heart, more on the crown.
Right, but see,
kind of
what I'm trying to say to you is that what I'm trying to say is that the actual, the energy source that's used, okay, whether you're light on the heart or not, working with the Akashic Records and this prayer could actually expand your heart energy and help you come from the heart as well as the crown.
Okay. And that is the one thing that I need to work on now. What I was going to tell you, where you say come from the heart, I call that, or you say the word prayer, I call prayer auto-suggestion.
Well,
you see where I'm using
I'm
my crown
about,
instead of
I'm
my
not
heart?
Talking about, yeah, but Robert, I'm not talking about praying. I'm talking about,
right.
It's the reason why it's called a prayer is because that was the definition of what it's called. It's a prayer
right.
that is a specific prayer that is that the words that are contained in the prayer are a vibrational key that shifts
exactly.
the energy.
When I
you call it a poem if you want it.
Well, yeah, exactly. When I used the word auto-suggestion, I wasn't really trying to say anything against prayer. I believe in prayer just as much. But I like to use the two synonymously. So, you know, and that is what it is.
What I'm saying is that we call it a prayer, not because you're necessarily praying, although it's like a prayer. It's not about an auto-suggestion because the words themselves are vibrational keys. So you could actually say, you could say this prayer and you could be saying peanut butter, peanut butter, peanut butter, and if that's what the vibrational key was to open the records, that's what would open the records. So it's a combination of words that are a vibrational key. Yeah.
See, that makes sense because auto-suggestion is information coming in as opposed to prayer is information going out and connecting. That would make sense.
Right, but in other words, like this is not. In other words, like the word prayer it's a definition for something else. It's a statement that is vibrationally is keyed in to be able to open the records. That's what it's for. So you wouldn't use this quote unquote prayer any other way other than to open the records.
Okay, I can pose another question at this point then.
Sure.
How do I know what those words are that are going to key me in to my Akashic records?
Well, that's what I said. There is a specific prayer that I've been taught that has been translated from Mayan to Spanish to English.
Can you share that with me?
Of course. That's what
can
I teach. I teach people how to do that at a workshop.
Okay. So you can't share it with me over the air, though.
Oh, no. It's too sacred. No, I would not broadcast that out because there's more to it. It's more than just saying the prayer. It's about saying the prayer. There's more to it. It's about learning how to use the energy that the prayer opens for you. It's about using the energy of the Akasha in every area of your life. From making decisions, the records will never tell you what to do. But this prayer, when you access the records, it's like opening a door to God's great library. It's like the ultimate search engine. So the workshop teaches you not only how to access the records, but what to do with that energy and how to honor it and how to use it to expand your own abilities in your life. So it's not about just sharing the prayer and say, here, go at it. It's not like that. It's much more sacred and more involved than that.
It's much more sacred than that. And being that it is so sacred, it's probably kept within ourselves and whoever you share it with. So I wouldn't be able to find this prayer anywhere in a search engine or
no, you wouldn't.
Anything other such.
No, okay. No, you would not. This prayer has never been published on the internet.
Okay, never been published in a book or the internet. Has it ever been published in a book? Say going back to even ancient scrolls.
I don't think so. It's all been passed down word of mouth.
It's all passed down word of mouth. Okay,
uh-huh.
That was the answer to that question.
Uh huh. Absolutely.
Do you have any other callers waiting?
I don't know. I don't think so. You're it.
Okay.
We can just keep on talking until I hear something. You know, I don't know. And I can
right.
just add
well,
on.
I mean,
is there anyone else out there?
I will sit here and listen. If you want to go into telling more, if you didn't have a caller, I'll still stay on the line with you. And maybe you talking about the Akashic Records some more, maybe I can pose another question until you get another caller. And then at that point, I would consider.
Okay, we can certainly do that. What we were talking about earlier is this gal Linda asked about how working with the Akashic Records and having our blueprint, if you will, or our soul's agenda, is there anything really predetermined? Are we in a lifetime where everything is predetermined, and what the Akashic Records have said is that everything is based on free will choice, that there are no victims and there are no perpetrators. There are only experiences and observations. Everything is free will choice. And so it's how we work with the lifetime. We come in, so for example, we come in with an idea or an agenda or a curriculum about how we want things to go. So for example, we've chosen the subjects. Like if for a person who goes to college, they choose the subjects they want to learn about or experience. And however, at the time they choose those subjects, they don't necessarily know who their teachers are going to be about what specifics. They can talk to or know who they have contracts with that will help them achieve their goals. But the specific circumstances or activities are not necessarily written in stone as we know it. And the thing that challenges that is that if you are a scientist and you understand what the time continuum is or isn't, you understand that there is no such thing as truly linear time. And so everything can be happening at one time, except it's very hard for our human minds to wrap around. And so what we have to do is just take a look at this as it shows up in our lifetimes. So, for example, when we think about how to move forward on our path, was like the other part of her question was, how can we work with the records to free ourselves from our human momentums to which we're vulnerable and which we know we need to overcome to demonstrate greater spiritual mastery? It's like, in other words, like, how can we free ourselves of the things that block us? And what we have to learn to realize is that in order to be able to understand about the things that block us, we have to be willing to allow those blocks to come forward and embrace the challenge, or embrace the pain, if you will, or rather than beating ourselves up because we can't do something or we can't release a pattern, rather than that, we have to take a look at what the gift is and what the pattern is teaching us. So, for example, let's take the pattern of being late. For example, a person who is chronically late, they're constantly late, and no matter what they do or how they try, they're always late. And their family and their friends have gotten to the point that they get a little aggravated because this person is constantly late. And rather than this person beating themselves up about being late all the time, it would behoove the person, it would help the person to actually open their records and say, what is the core issue around being late? Why am I always late? What is missing, or what do I need to know about my pattern of being late? And so, for example, what may come out of that question, and it's a real question that I've had people ask, by the way, so this is not a fairy tale question, this is a real question. People have issues with being late all the time, and I'd be willing to bet that there's somebody out there listening that this is going to hit on the money, and you know who you are. So the idea here is, if you have a chronic issue about being late, we're going to speak to you. And what we would like to tell you is that when it comes to planning your time, it would be very important for you to understand when you said yes and you meant no. And what happens is, when you feel that you're being controlled, the way that you release, or the way that you rebel, if you will, is by being late. And the way that works is, it's like that's the only thing that you have control about. Now, interestingly enough, the fact that you have felt out of control for so long, and this is the only way you can feel in control, it has now become a habit that permeates your whole life. At this point, you don't know where the core issue of being angry and out of control began or where it ends, because being chronically late is just something that you have learned to do over and over again. It's a way of again, exerting your personal control to move into a place of making other people wait. And this is not a judgment. The records are not trying to say here that it's that you are judging. No, what's being said here is it's about looking at the core issue of what's creating the behavior. And so the way to begin to eliminate your pattern of being late is to take a stronger look at where you feel out of control, or you feel helpless, or you're angry at yourself about being out of control, or you're angry at someone else for trying to take control of you. So these core issues can have a lot to do with how your patterns rule your life. For example, being late. It can also extend to procrastination. So you have to look at what is the issue that I am rebelling against that has become a pattern in my life and has moved into a pattern. See, what happens here is a person has a core feeling or a sense of what they would like to accomplish, and when that sense of accomplishment is interrupted, then many times they can feel helpless or out of control. And the only way that some people feel they can be in control is to be in control of their time, because they haven't been in control of other parts of their lives. I hope this is, I know this is helping someone. I'd love to hear from you if you're out there. In fact, let me give you those numbers again. If you're out there and you'd like to talk about how the issue of being late or core issues are affecting your life, please call 877-270-8714 or 530-413-4515 or 530-876-9026 or 530-876-3223. Just a comment. One of the reasons we give you all those different numbers is because these numbers don't roll over into each other. Like typically in a radio situation, if you have a call-in show, then you dial one number and they just automatically roll one into another. But with this particular radio station, what happens is each of those are dedicated lines and they don't roll to each other. So if you're out there and you'd like to talk, please call in. So let's just go back to what we were talking about. Oh, and I also want to encourage you to go to my website, and that's akashicwisdom.com, www.akashicwisdom.com. I'd like to make a comment here for those people who would like to learn how to access their own Akashic records. I can certainly teach you how to do that. You can actually understand not only how to use the prayer, how to use the prayer in every area of your life. I have workshops coming up across the country. The one that's closest to me is the one that's going to be in Cleveland, Ohio, and that's April 14th and 15th. There's also going to be a Level 1 Akashic Records workshop in Columbus, Ohio, April 21st and 22nd. And then Minneapolis is next, and that's May 4th and 5th, I want to say. And then after that, we have in Seattle. Seattle is in June, and that would be June 9th and 10th, I want to say. Let me just make sure June 9th and 10th in Seattle is a Level 1 and a Level 2, and Minneapolis, by the way, is the 5th and 6th of May. So if this is of interest to you, I would certainly encourage you to give me a call and register for those workshops. You still can get in on the early registration discount for Cleveland as well as the other ones. So please give me a call to register today, and you can call me privately at 216-691-1233. And you can certainly register like that, or email me at Donna at akashicwisdom wishic.com. That's A-K-A S-H-I-C Wisdom, W-I-S-D-O-M .com. And it's Donna, D-A-H-N-A, by the way. Okay. Also, you know, we were talking before with Robert about individual consultations, and I offer those individual, I offer one-hour consultations as well as one-and-a-half-hour consultations, and they're all done by telephone. So no matter where you live in the great United States, Canada, or anywhere in the world, as long as you have a telephone, we can do a consultation. Since I've done them as far as Dubai, Switzerland, Sweden, and as close as down the street. And they've still been a telephone consultation. So please give me a call if that's of interest to you. And remember, your consultation is based 100% on your questions. So if there are things in your life that you're saying, why did that happen? Or why do I keep doing the same things? Or what does this pattern mean? Or why do the same people keep coming forth? If you're curious about how to expand your joy, or what is my right livelihood and how can I do that, the records will really never tell you what to do, but they'll give you all the information you need in order to make the appropriate decisions. So I would encourage you to give a call and let's see what we can do for you. We've got a question here. Let's see what we... What I'm hearing is, as long as Robert is on the line, no one else can call in. Is that true? Okay. Well, I didn't know that. I think that you can call in, but you can call the 530-413. Robert, are you still on the line? Hello? 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 Hi there. Don, are you there? Okay, so, well, we're just going to keep on talking. But this is helpful. I'm just trying to see why I'm not getting... I'm wondering if the line is blocked. Huh. Okay. We have about 5 more minutes, and I'm not hearing Robert, so I don't think Robert's on the line. So if anybody's out there that has a question, please try to give a call. I would love to see that you do that. Again, 877-270-8714 or 530.
Yeah, there's been no one there. Yeah, there was no one there. There was no one there. There was nobody. I don't know what you were hearing, but it wasn't anything from this end.
No, what happened was, I had an email question that said as long as the person was on the line, they couldn't get through.
Well, there's no one on the lines.
Okay. So, but the individual lines come in on, automatically, don't they, Don? I told the people right, correct?
Yes. Well, no, they don't. That first person, I was going to beep them or announce them, but as soon as I put them on, you kind of got to it quicker. The first person, but normally I'll announce them. I'll get on there and announce them.
Okay, right? That's great. Well,
make
that
it a
sounds
easier.
Great. Well, if anybody's out there and wants to call in, they can do that now, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. That's good. That's good to know. We have, what, about 5 more minutes? Or are
no,
we
no, actually, we're about 30 seconds left.
Okay, well, I guess we're 30 seconds left. So, folks, I want to say it's been a great Ask the Akasha. Please tune in later on to the Akashic Wisdom Show at 9 o'clock Pacific. We're going to have Ronnie Reisler talking about the mandalas that she creates, the Akashic Records. And so at this point, I'd like to just close the records for Ask the Akasha by saying, all those who are listening, may you have a wonderful evening, may your hearts be opened, and may your burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, I say, amen, amen. The records are now closed for the Ask the Akasha Records Close program today. Thank you, everyone. Talk to you soon. Bye.